It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now we welcome in someone who is on the Giants beat for NorthJersey.com and for USA Today. And someone I used to check the record, the print copy, every single morning when I was in high school to see if he wrote something about me, Art Stapleton joins the show. Art, thanks for joining us.
Danielle, what's up? Bergen County, born and raised. Love always joining you whenever you make that call.
I appreciate that, Art. Okay, so you're going to be a wealth of knowledge because I haven't yet gotten out to Giants camp and Hard Knocks has been on. So let's start there. From a journalist's or a beat reporter's point of view to you, what was like the most intriguing thing about this season of Hard Knocks?
You know, I think going in, I thought I knew the purpose as to why they did Hard Knocks. And, you know, anyone who follows the Giants, if you haven't heard, you know, John Mara once proclaimed that it would be over his dead body and he'd have to be laying next to his father in the Gate of Heaven Cemetery before the Giants would agree to do Hard Knocks. Now, obviously, they did it, so something changed. And going in, I felt the Giants truly believe in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and what they're trying to put together behind the scenes. And I think their purpose is what I took out of it, is that they wanted to show that they had a lot of good people working on the personnel side, the scouting side. They wanted to show that Shane had a plan and that they were not the chaotic mess that people kind of made them out to be, or circumstances made them out to be, at the end of last season. So my biggest takeaway is the global view of they have the right people in place. It's a big change from when Dave Gettleman was the GM and he wasn't on the same page as the coach and they couldn't make decisions based on trust. They had to make decisions based on ego. And, you know, that's the difference that I think came through in Hard Knocks, is that, you know, as much of an ego as Shane has as GM, he has people around him that he trusts. And I think, you know, look, you could pick the right players or you think who the right players are, and then they have to go out and perform on the football field, and that becomes Brian Daboll's job. But for the most part, that's my biggest takeaway, is that I think when you look at everything from the 30,000 view, 30,000 foot view. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what you take away, is that they may make mistakes. They're not perfect, but I think they have a process that is going to work. And now the fun starts, you know, now it's about football.
Right. And now about football, it seems that like Brian Daboll, I think, is going to be the one calling plays for the Giants this season offensively. I think it's the best idea. So how do you see it being there every day, and how does it look different already with him doing that?
A lot more urgency. The offense had very good pace early on in camp. There's another big change that they've done in camp, Danielle, is that they're not doing any 7-on-7 drills, and you know they're just doing 11-on-11. And the 11-on-11 is essentially football. 7-on-7 is passing camp, right? And the idea was to give Daniel Jones, who has taken every snap with the first team offense, give him that feel right away of what's it going to be like in the pocket, getting moving in and out of the pocket, navigating, you know, back and forth coming back from his ACL. And I think with Dable, they've really put an emphasis on the deep ball. And why wouldn't you? You have Jalin Hyatt, whose, success is on that deep ball. He certainly worked on some of the intermediate routes this year, and it's been noticeable in camp. And then you have Malik Nabers, who I'm sure we'll get to. But the idea is that they've pushed the ball down the field. Jones's timing with his receivers is still a work in progress. He's underthrown some, he's overthrown some, and they've hit some. Now, you're talking about, as of we're talking now, it's seven practices for Daniel Jones since he tore his ACL in November. You know, it's not a lot of time. You know, I remember, Eli Manning early in camp, made some throws that you kind of shook your head at, and you're like, what are they trying to do? I mean, there's plenty of time. So the Dable factor, I think, is going to just have a lot more purpose on this offense. Danielle, you're a great athlete. You still play. It's the idea of if you're a great shortstop and someone wants to put you in left field, and you say, okay, I'll do it for the benefit of the team. But the team is losing and your job is on the line, essentially. What are you going to do? You're going to go play shortstop, you're going to bat third, and you're going to go, all right, now if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my best people in the right spots. And I think that's what Brian Daboll is doing as the play caller.
That makes sense to me. I mean, I'm trying to think. I can't imagine the injury in my head. Was the ACL on the plant foot or on the front foot? I can't remember.
It's on his right leg.
So his plant foot, because he's a righty, right?
Yes.
So yeah, so that's going to affect the drive downfield early on for sure.
We were talking to Brian Daboll about that today and asked him, is it affecting Daniel? And they seem to think that it's more a timing issue than a physical issue. And I've got to be honest, Danielle, there is no way I thought Daniel Jones would be taking every first team rep
Right.
for this team at this point, because physically, you just didn't know what he'd be able to do all this time. And I think, the reality is that because he's doing that, they're trying to get him up to speed as quickly as possible. And I think from that perspective, you're just going to deal with, some misfires. You're going to deal with things, and you hope that it's not something that's trending in September. If
Right.
it is trending in September, then it's rightfully so that you would question where Jones is at right now. But I don't think it's a confidence issue with Jones. He looks good. He's getting out of the pocket. He's running. I mean, there were a couple times where he ran that I would never know that he's recovering from an ACL injury. You've got guys who, miss and, it takes them a year to come back. Jones looks good. I got to give him credit for that. But again, it doesn't solve the overall picture of when he was healthy last year. The inconsistency that really dragged his game down, and the inconsistency around him did the same.
Right. The Art Stapleton joins us on the Fan. You mentioned Malik Nabers. We'll go there. He was on my draft board, and I do a lot of homework, but on my draft board, he was the best player in the draft. I think I mean, he was at least up there on Joe Shane, because on Hard Knocks, he said, I was praying you were still on the board. So having been there, having seen him, is he, I think I know the answer here, better than, as, or worse than advertised?
He's better than advertised because of the way he's been able to just come out of the chute and just play. I mean, they can't cover him. And, I'm hesitant to go that route because we all remember a year ago how we all raved about Darren Waller and how he was unguardable, and how Darren Waller was incredible in training camp. We haven't seen anything like it at the position. And then, cold water, we all know what happened with Darren Waller last season. But Nabers to me is just very natural in what he's doing. And it seems like he has a purpose with everything he's doing. The practice today, they called the wide receiver screen for Wan'Dale Robinson, and Nabers got up into it and sealed the block on the outside that let Robinson go and gain about 15, 20 yards.
Wow.
Immediately, Shea Tierney, the quarterback's coach, pass game coordinator, comes over, doesn't congratulate Daniel Jones or Wan'Dale Robinson, basically goes to Nabers and is like, hey, great job. You see Jones go over to Nabers, not Wan'Dale, because they realize it's a sixth overall pick. We all know that this guy wants to be catching touchdowns. He doesn't want to be throwing blocks on the outside. And wouldn't you know it, two plays later, they call for a double move on the outside. He leaves Cordell Flott about 6 yards behind him, and Jones hits him for a 50-yard touchdown.
Wow. I just that sounds awesome.
This is as good as a player I've seen here since Odell. And you got to remember, Odell was not on the field in training camp. You know, he dealt with the hamstring that kept him out the first 4 weeks of the season. So Neighbors is just, he is that good. He is the kind of impact player that we saw Ja'Marr Chase was in Cincinnati. We saw Justin Jefferson was in Minnesota. And then it will come down to this offense getting him the football. And then it comes back to Jones. And if he can play well enough to get Neighbors the ball, and I think he will. Again, I always preface this with, I'm not saying Daniel Jones is the quarterback that's going to lead the Giants to the Super Bowl, but I think he can do the job. And with Dable's play calling and some of the pieces around him too, you know, Jalen Hyatt, I mentioned, Wandell Robinson and Darius Slayton, they've been the four guys running with the first team all summer long. And that's a big difference from what Dable has done the last couple years and this year, is that that's it. The first team wide receivers are those four guys. Everybody else is running with the second and third team. Mm-hmm. And I think that may make a difference. I mean, they're obviously identifying things that they did last year and maybe didn't help them get out of the gates early. We know 40-0 on opening night. I think they're trying to be, again, I use that word purposeful. I think that's what they're trying to do here. And Neighbors is a huge part of it. If he's not a big part of this, then something went wrong elsewhere, because the kid is a good player.
NorthJersey.com and USA Today's Art Stapleton was with us on The Fan. You mentioned Waller. He retired in June. Giants drafted a tight end come draft time. Do you think they knew? Was there a conversation that, hey, man, I'm probably going to be retiring? Do you think that went down?
Yeah, I do. I think even going back to the combine, which was early March, you know, there were rumors about Waller thinking about retiring. And there was an initial report. It was actually the day I was leaving Indianapolis to come home, that Waller was coming back. And then immediately he came out and he refuted it and said, I haven't made my decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one thing I respect about Darren Waller, and I know a lot of Giants fans, you know, Waller is now, you know, I don't want to say public enemy number one, but it's one of those things where, you know, he can go make his music and worry about his divorce with Kelsey Plum and all that stuff. But the reality is, I think, you know, he was pretty genuine in terms of his recovery and his mental health. And I really think that he came into this offseason wondering whether or not he wanted to do the grind to get back on the field. And I think the Giants knew that. I think they were very intentional and told him to take his time. They did not make any decisions either way and say, you know what, we're going to be without Waller, so we're going to do this. They went and drafted Theo Johnson. But it wasn't one of those things where it was like, well, we wouldn't want this guy if Waller was coming back. I think they really liked Theo Johnson. But they moved along and they signed veteran tight ends, Chris Manhertz, you know, Jack Stoll from the Eagles. You know, they have guys here. So I don't think they were surprised by Waller. I think it got to a point where, you know, look, you're the Giants. You can't be talking about mental health. And they do talk about it, and they've tried to make it a priority here. You can't talk about that. And if you have a player who is, you know, the mental health awareness ambassador for Hackensack Meridian, I mean, that's what Darren Waller was. So, you know, there was a lot of behind the scenes that didn't have something to do with football. And in the end, I think the end result was exactly what they anticipated, and it played out, I think, to Waller's liking and to the Giants' liking, because Waller has been nothing but complimentary to the Giants, to Daniel Jones and everything else. And, you know, had they operated differently, I think, you know, maybe Waller would have had a little bad feeling or maybe saying things about the Giants instead of praising them, the way they handled things. And I think other players noticed that too. Darren Waller was a well-liked player in this locker room last year. There wasn't the idea of, oh, this guy's overpaid or this guy's this. I think his teammates really liked him and respected him for what he's been through. So people noticed that. People in the locker room, people in the business noticed that. I think the Giants handled it the way they needed to handle it.
Art Stapleton, on the Giants beat, is with us on the Fan. Art, we talked about pushing the ball down the field, Daniel Jones, this and that, but I would be remiss without asking you, the offensive line, is it any better?
Well, if it's not, then, you know, it would be going on like year 11 or 12 that the Giants still can't figure it out up front. I think it was a philosophical change that I actually called for during the season, Danielle, is that I think Joe Shane came in here and said, you know what, we're going to build the offensive line through the draft. We're going to bring young players in. We're going to develop them. They drafted Evan Neal, Joshua Zudu, and Marcus McKeithen in their first year. So that's three offensive linemen in Joe Shane's first draft. I think they wanted to bring in guys, that young guys that they can move along to create a foundation, and guys start getting hurt. And, you know, all three of those players, Neal, Azudu, and McKeithen, have been hurt. McKeithen had an ACL. He's really not back to where they thought he was as a rookie. That was 2 years ago. So they flipped it and they said, you know what, we're going to bring veterans in. And we're going to rely on veterans. And it's not that we're going to give up on development, but we're going to bring in a new offensive line coach, Carm Brasillo, who did a great job in Vegas last year. And he goes back with Dable ways in New England, and he's going to come in here, and they're going to coach these guys up, but they're going to rely on experience, and they're going to get Andrew Thomas healthy, and they're going to see what they can do. Jermaine Illuminor, another Jersey proud for me and you. Yes, he's from London, but he's from Jersey, played his high school ball in Morris County. He's a difference maker at right tackle. When you compare what Evan Neal was at right tackle versus Illuminor, it's night and day. And it's not to say they're giving up on Evan Neal, but he's still recovering from the ankle injury. He's on the physically unable to perform list. And I like what the Giants did day one of camp. Illuminor played left guard all spring, and they were holding right tackle for Evan Neal. When Evan Neal couldn't get on the field for training camp day one, Illuminor switched to right tackle, which is where he played in Vegas the last 2 years. He's a better right tackle right now than Evan Neal is, and the Giants didn't play around. They said, you know what, we're not going to wait around for Evan Neal here. We don't know how long this is going to go. We're making the move. And that's what they did. And then they went out and they signed Greg Van Roten, who is a Long Island guy, who essentially said, you know, I wanted to be in this area. Giants opportunity was a great opportunity. Played for the Jets a couple of years ago. Had his best season at age 34 last year. Where? In Las Vegas with Carm Brasillo, playing right next to Jermaine Illuminor at right guard, right tackle. So I think they've gone after veterans. They have Runyon here to play left guard. I think that's kind of the purpose that the Giants are looking now. And I do think they'll be better up front. You know, let's be honest, Danielle, all they have to do is be middle of the pack. Yeah. And they're that much better offensively. So I think that's kind of what you're anticipating early for the Giants, to be able to just be competent. It's not a lot to ask. Don't give up sack after sack and get your quarterback beaten to a pulp. And then maybe you can actually function and get some of these playmakers involved down the field.
Right. You know, hand in hand, of course. Art Stapleton with us on the Fan. Art, you know, obviously you're there every day. You watch very intently every day. Besides the neighbors and things like that, who would you say is either offensively or defensively kind of like the breakout star to watch moving forward?
That really is a great question, because I think we're still kind of in the early stages of figuring out, you know, which guys are going to really step up and get that opportunity. But, you know, you got to go to running back for me. And it's another rookie in Tyrone Tracy, fifth round pick, He is getting a lot of opportunities behind Devin Singletary. And I've written this in the record and on NorthJersey.com, and just the idea of, you know, what they did in Detroit last year with the combination of Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I could see that kind of being a blueprint for the Giants with Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy. Tracy is a converted wide receiver, but explosiveness, explosive plays, that's all you heard from scouts back at the combine. The Giants end up getting him in the fifth round, and most of it is because he's a little older, because he's been in college for his entire career. So he's 24, turning 25. So, but as far as the tread on the tires go, it's not there. And I think he's a guy that early on Giants fans are going to be calling for, just because I think they're going to see things in the preseason that, you know, we got to get Tyrone Tracy on the field. So that'd be my breakout star from a guy that maybe you don't see. And Wandell Robinson might catch 1,000 passes this year. You know, he's playing in the slot. If he's healthy, kind of an extension of that run game, I think those would be my two guys on offense. And then defense, let's see if Jason Pinnock could take another step forward. He took a big step last year at safety, played next to Xavier McKinney. Now McKinney is gone. I think Tyler Newbin, their second-round pick, once he gets over, you know, a nagging calf and early on in training camp, I think he'll be out there. I think Dane Belton will be out there. But let's see if Jason Pinnock can go from solid player to good to very good player, because if he can, that changes the way they are on the back end, especially in the middle of the field in this Shane Bowen's defense. He likes to use his safeties. He had a history of using you know, good safeties that can play both the run and the pass. So I'll give you Pinnock on defense.
All right. Well, Art, I know it's very early in training camp, but seems very positive. You know, a lot of good things coming out of Giants camp, and I appreciate you taking the time for me today.
Absolutely, Danielle. Anytime. And, you know, look, everything's positive in the summer. You go from a positive day to a negative day to a positive day to this guy needs to be benched. But at the end of the day, we won't know until September 8th when they take the field against Minnesota here at MetLife Stadium if this team has taken a step forward and they're going to avoid the slow start that they had last year. You know, 100 years, this team deserves it. This fan base deserves it. We'll see if they can deliver.
We'll see if we can get you on before that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sounds great, Daniel. It's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.